here's Thanksgiving right here. And if this doesn't occur, nothing we say with our mouth holds any weight with God. Amen. It's not life transforming to just come in here and say the words. It's life transforming when we actually begin to live a life that every moment of it, every day of it, is to honor Him and to please Him. Praise God. We give ourselves away. You know, the Bible said that you are bought with a price. How many know what the price was? You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You're worth far more than that. God has paid far more than that to purchase you. Amen. You were not redeemed, ransomed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You are bought with that price. And the Bible said you are not your own because He has purchased you. Amen. On the cross. But you have to give yourself to Him. You have to give yourself away. I remember one young man who went on to become a great missionary. He was penniless and he was in church. He was broke. I don't know if anybody here has ever been penniless. Amen. But I've been broke. I've been flat broke. I've been sure enough broke. Amen. I've been down to no gas in the tank. No, I mean, God had to come through, and God did come through. We got married at 16 and 14. And them was lean times, I'm going to tell you. I depended on tips to get my baby milk and baby food. And there wasn't nothing left for us to play on. I mean, I remember sitting down to a can of Campbell's soup. And remember the Kool-Aid that comes in the little bottle? It was real deep grape. Grape is the one we always got. And you mix it in water, put some sugar in there, and stir it up. I remember a glass of Kool-Aid. Amen. A can of Campbell's soup. Say, thank you, Lord. I made it through those times. Praise God. Amen. And I remember what happened when I came to Christ and started living thanks unto Him, not just giving thanks to Him. Amen. We never had to eat soup and Kool-Aid again. I mean, we could, but we didn't have to anymore. Praise the Lord. We were able to get crackers for that soup. Homemade biscuits and red hot gravy took you through the red eye gravy. Okay, from the grease. Yeah. Yeah, that's that gravy. It's good, though. That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Those were those hard times. Make you appreciate the good times. He's been down so long. Yeah, I'm like the other fellow that was lower than a snake in a wagon rut. That's pretty low. I've been there. I know what it is. I know. And you know, I wouldn't take anything for the experience because it has developed in me a heart of gratitude to the Lord. Praise God. How I thank Him for things that other people may take for granted. That's the promise reiterated by the Spirit of God to us. Hallelujah. See, Hebrews 13:5, and you can be seated for a few moments, but Hebrews 13:5 said, He hath said. Everybody said, He hath said. That's what the whole Word of God's all about. It's what He has said to you, and He has said to me. He hath said, I will never leave you. Now, see, that's already been said, and now in the book of Hebrews, Paul is saying, this is what he said. He said it, I will never, to his disciples, and I want to remind you what he said. He hath said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the age, that we, he hath said, say it again, he hath said, that we might boldly say, amen. Whatever he said, we can boldly declare. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. 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 He said, I'll never leave you. That we might get up in the morning and assess how we feel or whether we get a liver shiver or not. No, he has said that we might boldly say. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Praise God. Amen. Amen. There's a boldness that comes when you take God at His word. The Bible said, hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, because He's faithful that promised. And that word confession means to say the same thing as another. It's not just saying something. It is saying something that's already been said by someone who cannot lie. And someone who has the power to perform whatever he says. See, here's what it isn't and here's what it is. It isn't, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it. His word is forever settled in heaven. But you still got to believe it. It's when you believe it that you can receive it. It's already said. Hallelujah. Hath he not said it, and will he not bring it to pass? He watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And the reason that that little teenage girl believed that she would become pregnant without knowing a man is because he said it. And the Bible said that Mary believed that there would be a performance of those things that he said. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God said it. That settles. We need to start believing it. Can you say amen? Woo! Y'all gonna make me shout if you keep amening. God said it. That settles it. Let's believe it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Time we boldly say what he has said. Now, I want to get you off of this creative power in you and leave it with the Creator. It's not going to happen because you say it. It's going to happen because he said it. And we boldly say what he said. We don't cause it to happen. He's the one that acts on it. So the power is not in us. It's always in him. Praise God. But there is something called... Here's what he said. If he says he wants that mountain moved, and we know his will and his word on it, then he wants us to say it in bold faith. If you say unto this mountain... Now, you can't do that unless you know he said it first. He's got to say it. See, even Jesus showed us how to operate that way. He said the words of mine are not my words. It's what I hear my Father say. And then I boldly proclaim. That's the pattern. Can you say amen? And then he said the works that I do are not mine. I'm not arbitrarily doing anything of my own strength, power, authority. But what I see my Father do. And that's what it meant when it said the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent, take it. Come on. It's about time that we boldly say what he has said. Not what we see. Not what we feel. Not what everybody else says. But what he has said. There are days I get up, I do not feel him. I don't live in some place of goose pimple on top of goose pimple confirmation. You wouldn't need faith if you kept feeling all that stuff all the time. Faith is not based on a feeling. And there's times I get up that I do not see the hand of God at work. I can't see. I'm diverted to looking at a problem, an obstacle, a challenge. Everybody can be distracted. But I say it anyway. Because it's true, whether I see it or not. The Bible said, while we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. Everybody say temporal. Subject to change. Everybody say subject to change. Everything you can see in this material world is subject to change. If you got a car, it will rust someday. It'll probably rust before you get another car. It'll start rusting somewhere. Amen. If you've got a house, it will leak someday. Guaranteed. Someday you'll find a leak and have to get a roof on that bad boy, because that's not a permanent roof up there. They guaranteed it for 20 years. Yeah, well, good luck with that. Amen. They might make it. It might not. Termites might change all of that, because termites get in your house, it's subject to change. Can you say amen? This body is subject to change. Amen. I look in the mirror, I don't see the man that I was looking at some time ago. Amen. I see a different guy. He's an older, wiser guy. Amen. We don't even have to worry. We got the three wise men up here, and we got the three wise guys, but I won't tell you who they are anyway. But I just looked at two of them anyway. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Saying the same thing that another, let's boldly. There's something about boldly proclaiming that God honors its faith actualized. Amen. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. In every idle word that a man shall speak, amen, he shall give an account of in the day of judgment. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Amen. I said life and death. What if I took a 357 Magnum this morning, loaded, safety off, passed it around this audience? Do you know the power of a 357 Magnum? If you dropped it on the floor and it shot, as a matter of fact, a man was showing a gun at church that he brought, a man going to purchase a gun, and a pastor's daughter was in another room, and it discharged accidentally, went through the wall, and killed the pastor's daughter. It's because it's dangerous. It's a dangerous weapon. 357, there ain't no wall in this building to stop that bullet from piercing and going right on through. You could hide behind a wall, it won't keep you from a 357. If I passed a loaded one around and told you when I started passing it to this side to pass it back and forth to one another, I passed that gun around, how would you handle it? Knowing. Would you handle it carefully? Would you be very cautious? You know what the Bible said about this? You know what the Bible said about this? Life and death. Life and death. Life and death. That's serious business when you've got something deadly here that you can not only wound others with, but you can wound yourself. How many people each year are killed by their own weapon? Shot by their own gun? There are people literally speaking doubtful, faithless words constantly, like a stream that is not handled with any kind of respect or discipline. That's why when the Holy Spirit fills you, what is the first member that he takes control of when he has your heart? What happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spake with a new tongue? God doesn't want that just to be glossolalia. That's the theological term for tongues, other tongues. He wants you, listen, Pentecostals are great in speaking in other tongues. We're not too good at speaking in our own tongue properly. Thank you for the amens. We're not too good at that. Somebody reads something on Facebook and it becomes the subject of discussion, and all it is a bunch of somebody's dirty wash. I don't even know why people hang it out on Facebook for everybody to read. Why would you hang your dirty wash out on Facebook for everybody to read? Amen? Why hang it out? Take it in that back room where it belongs. It's smelly. It's stinky. Amen? And then we wonder why that our faith is just out the window, and we're depressed, and we're saying, why am I in this shape? Because we're not saying what he said. We're saying what we feel and what we see. Hello? And we don't always see what we need to see or feel what we need to feel, but we can always say what we need to say, because God's word will stand when this whole world has passed away. Hallelujah. And We need to get up with an attitude in the morning. I don't care what I see. I don't care how I feel. God is true. And I boldly say what he said about me and my situation. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we're so afraid of this name it, claim it, grab, blab it, grab it stuff that we're afraid to say anything. We're afraid we're going to get, and I'm going to tell you something. There's some people that have threw the baby out with the bathwater. And the people that have been so critical of this message, even though it's wrong, they're not only critical of that, but anything that resembles that. Even if it's balanced truth, they criticize it and want to put you in that camp. Take a good look at their life. They toe up from the flow up. They're defeated. They're broken. They're joyless. They're desperate. They won't say it. They won't claim it. Because they're afraid they're part of that extreme group. So they threw it all out. Don't throw it all out. There's some truth in this. I'll tell you one thing. You will never, and I mean never, rise above your confession. Never. Boy, this is a pre-communion service I didn't expect. But life and death is here. Hallelujah. On the other hand, what if I gave you to pass around? What if I gave you to keep life giving anti-venom, and somebody could take a sip of it, and any poisonous snake that bitten them, the poison would be neutralized. And you saw somebody that was snake bit, and they were dying. Would you use it to help them? You had it in your hand. You had it in your power. Would you use it to help them? Wouldn't it be a joy when the doctors give up to walk in with your special Holy Ghost anti-venom and say, take this and you'll be fine. And they drink it and rise up. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? It's not just death in this thing. There's life in it too. Woo! But the Bible said that your old nature leans toward that deadly stuff. The tongue, without being under God's control, set on fire of hell. And listen to this. Hear it clearly. No man, I don't care who you are, can tame it. No man can tame it. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When they were threatened with death, if they continue to preach Jesus, the Bible said, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that we might boldly speak thy word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of all of this pressure and persecution, let us stand up and declare what God has said. You know what happened? So that they could do that in the midst of all of that pressure and persecution, the Bible said these Spirit-baptized apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. And what happened after that? Signs and wonders occurred with great power. Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Reinhard Bonnke went down into Africa. God told him, go and preach in Africa. I want to turn the dark continent. You know what? Right now, the epicenter for world evangelism is no longer America. It's Africa. Hallelujah. Africa, the dark continent, is becoming a beacon for the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. When Reinhard Bonnke went there years ago and other evangelists went, but he went and he said, we set up a tent, we began to preach outdoors, we began to pray and fast and seek the Lord, and about 300 people came each night. He said, Lord, there are tens of thousands of people lost here. steeped in witchcraft and the occult and ignorance and the devil has sway over their minds and lives. How do we reach them at this pace? You know, how are we going to get them into the kingdom? 300 with maybe 50 coming to Christ is not quick enough, fast enough. There's a sense of urgency in this great harvest field. So he prayed about that and he said, I was preaching Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead one night, and the Holy Ghost came on him, and he initially argued because he doesn't have a necessarily a gift of healing or gift of miracles, he thought. So he said the Spirit of the Lord came on him and said, tell the people that now, after he had preached, before making the altar call, I'm going to heal the sick. He said, in his heart, communing with God, on the platform, I am not Oral Roberts. See, there's some people want to take it off the miracles too. I meet people all the time that just say, it's in the Word, it's in the Word, it's in the Word. God confirms the Word with signs following. This gospel did not come in Word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Can you say amen? There are people that have threw out the entire message and it's out the window. I want you to be not be critical, but be honestly, look at their life. Look at where they are in life. Find God's blessing somewhere. You can't find it. You can't move out of this. Amen. You can't move out of faith because some people have abused faith. You can't move out of confession because some people have abused positive confession. You're told to hold fast your confession of faith without wavering, for what? He is faithful, that promise, and he want us to be full of faith in believing what he promised and declaring it. Hallelujah. Amen. I meet with four ministers, and one of them said, if I get into a physical condition and I need a miracle, don't just pray for me. Declare that I am healed. Take authority. He said, if you're going to pray, don't just pray one of those mousy, little, unemboldened by the Holy Spirit prayer. Bob DeWeese had a bad heart attack. He was part of the Oral Roberts evangelistic team. Bob DeWeese went into the hospital hovering between life and death. Oral Roberts, of course, went to the hospital to pray with him. Bob DeWeese's daughter was sitting outside when Oral got there, and they went in together. And you know, sometimes when you're in a crusade, you pray different than you are in another setting where that unction of the anointing may not be flowing. So he went over and he gingerly, quietly laid hands on Bob DeWeese and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal him and raise him up. We need him. We feel that it's too early for him to go home. And Lord, we just pray for a healing today from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet in Jesus' name. Don't bother anybody. Don't get too excited. Just pray a little prayer. God hears whispers. We know that. And he started to walk out of the room, and Bob DeWeese's daughter grabbed him. He told this and she told this. She backed him up into the room. She said, Oral, thank you so much for coming to pray for my daddy. But would you pray one of those prayers like you prayed under the tent? And Oral said, yes, I will. He knew exactly. You know the difference. We all know the difference in the dutiful prayer and the prayer that's unctioned by God. When you declare something because the Lord has said something, can you say amen? Hallelujah. He went back in and she said, he laid hands on my daddy and he said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, whose servant I am, heal this man from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Amen. Bob DeWeese came home and lived for 9 more years. Woo! Hallelujah. So the Bible said the kingdom of God suffereth violence. The violent take it by force. What you bind, behold, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Literally, the way it's rendered in the Greek, it's already bound. See, you can't bind anything here that he hasn't bound there. Come on, it's not you being in control. It's God being in control and you declaring that God is in control. And what you loose on earth. See, you are told to pray in the Lord, teach us to pray. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy rule, thy will be done. Where? In earth. This old fallen world where it looked like Satan reigned supreme. Interrupt all of that. Praise God. Intrude on all of that. Praise God. Come through down in this fallen planet. Just like your will is in heaven. Begin to express it here. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Deliver the oppressed. Hallelujah. I don't feel going on 66 today. I feel young. Till the service is over and I grab that orange juice to make it home. But right now, I know that God is in this place. And God is in my heart. And God is on the throne. And God is in control. Hallelujah. And I know his word is his word. And when this earth passes away, and heaven as we know it passes away, he said there's something going to stand all of that. Something's going to stand through all of that. My word will abide forever. Praise God. Hath he not said it? And shall he not do it? Can you say, man? Glory be to God. Let all of the earth stand in awe of him. Because he spoke. And it was done. He commanded. And it stood fast. Hallelujah. And the Bible said whatever he says becomes an anchor. The contrary winds are going to come. You need to get an anchor. I know the song, I'm anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no one. But not just in Jesus, but in what he said. The Holy Ghost, when he comes, is called the Spirit of Truth. And he's going to bring to your remembrance what? Whatever he said unto you. Why? So you can say it.
Not just so you can say, oh yeah. No, so you can say it too.
Everybody say confession. Amen. Tell you about salvation. Faith is expressed this way. God honors it this way. But with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But confession is made unto salvation. It's incomplete until you confess him. Can you say, man? But when you confess, I am saved. All the devils in hell can't pull you back, take you back. Can you say, man, because it's sealed now. Praise God. Hold fast your what? Profession of faith without wavering. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the. Oh, you can't see me in the back. Testimony. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Woo! Glory to God. What did Hezekiah do to comfort them surrounded by an enemy? The Bible said he spoke comfortably unto them, saying, there's more with us than there is with them. With them is the arm of flesh. With us is the Lord our God. He it is that will fight our battles for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Your words are not creating it, but your words are creative in the sense that it creates an atmosphere and an attitude within your heart. If you speak doubt and fear all the time, you're going to live in doubt and fear all the time. Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Where's that coming from? That's coming from your inward man. And when the Holy Ghost comes, He emboldens you. Praise God. If there's something He does when we get around the Word of God, read the Word of God, hear the Word of God, He emboldens you. Halabakosanda. He has said whatever He said that we might what? Boldly say. Praise God. And it's in that bold confession, that bold declaration that releases our faith in a way that God honors it and He manifests Himself. What happened at the Red Sea? Let me set this up before we head to Holy Communion. I suppose this message is about the tongue and confession. I know people right now that if I talk about faith too much, I remember one time I drove a nice car up here. Somebody gave me. It wasn't too nice because it broke down in about a year. But I thank God for it. I drove it for a year. And it was anyway, I drove a car up out here. And when somebody drove up in our parking lot and saw the car, they thought I had become one of them preachers that had to have a big car. Well, the car had 130,000 miles on it. The trunk had been faded in the sun. It was a nice, in fact, it was a Buick Riviera. Boy, when I drove that thing to work, I come in that Riviera, I said, man, he's one of them prosperity preachers. Well, I got a 130,000 mile Buick Riviera that everything that tore up cost $800 to fix. You've heard of something nickel and diming you to death? I'd be happy to play nickels and dimes to get something fixed in these days. I took it in for a heater coil. $800, labor intensive, had to pull the dag. I took it back for a water pump, labor intensive. Nobody would do it. Shade Tree Mechanics can't get under the hood of this thing. It took me a month to find the battery. Yes, because it's not up front where batteries are supposed to be. It was under the back seat. Yes, the battery is under the back seat. You can't. You have to take it to a dealer. People look at you, you better take it to the dealer. I thought, oh, Lord, I saw dollar signs. $800. You work on cars. $800 for a heater coil because it had to pull the dash. You know what I'm talking about. That ain't no fun. You inside that dash on that Buick with all these gauges that tell you everything, it's crazy under there. Look like spaghetti been spilled. Amen? And then I had a water pump go. Took it to the dealer. The estimate. Guess what? $800. Labor intensive. Okay, that's $1,600 I put in this thing that's been leaving me sitting. Then I had a problem with the electrical system. And I got an estimate on that. I said, can you give me an estimate of what it might cost to fix it? He said, yeah, about $800. I thought, Lord, I believe I could drive into that dealership with a flat tire and say, what would you call it? I said, I need an oil change and a flat tire. He said, it'd be about $800. I sold it. I said, take it, please. Please take it. Take it. If you can work on it, it'll be a good car. It's a beautiful car fixed up. But it just won't run. And I don't have enough money to keep it running. Yeah, it was more of a curse than a blessing after a while. But I thank God for it because I drove it for a little while. And people thought I was a high-class preacher because I had a 130,000-mile problematic Buick. Because it was a luxury car in its day. And so someone said, I thought you was becoming one of them. One of who? Them people drive them big cars and talk about money all the time. Well, no, I'm not one of them, but I am one of God's children. And I'm not in it for the silver and gold. But from time to time, I need some. Come on. You can't give to God's work if you don't have anything. Naked, if you don't have anything yourself, let every man work that he might want, fizzle out, nobody that he might have to give. anybody that needs it. So if you throw the baby out with the bathwater, you sink. You can't help nobody, and you can't even help yourself anymore. Amen. You put the kingdom first. What did he say he would do? I'll add all these other things to you. We got down to the bottom there, and I went to work, became a bivocational pastor for 12 years. I worked a job full-time, preached full-time, prayed full-time. Never missed a Sunday that I can remember. Went home right after the service. Went to work right after the service, but I was here. Put the kingdom first. I'm going to tell you something. God took care of us through all of that. They wouldn't hire me because I was 50 years old when I went back out into the job market in a production plant. I thought, I'll go out and I can do anything. God's with me. Hallelujah. Amen. And I went out, you know, to put in my application. I put it in. I didn't hear anything. I believe God. I believe you put legs on your prayer. If you're praying for a job, go look for one. Amen. Because if you don't go look for one, probably no one's going to come and hand you one. You got to put some legs on your faith. You've heard of the yellow pages? Let your fingers do the walking. Well, you can't do that. You got to get your legs involved. In some of these. So anyway, I kept putting it in. Nothing was come of it. I went into a 7-Eleven to get me a belly washer. That's in the summer. That's when them 44-ounce thirst busting. We call them belly washers because big gulp. Yeah, you gulp that bad boy down and, you know, you'll be hunting the bathroom within 15 minutes. So I went into one of those convenience stores and there was a man in there that worked at the place that I'd been putting in applications. He said, hey, how you doing? I said, fine. I said, I've been trying to get a job out there. I need to subsidize it. And he said, well, I don't know why they wouldn't. Anyway, he went in and talked to the personnel manager that hires everybody. And he said, let me tell you something about this guy. He can do a good job. He's a hardworking man. She said, yeah, but he's 50 years old. See, they're not supposed to discriminate like that. But between the desk and them, nobody's looking over their shoulder. And you know what he told her? He said, this man's in shape. This man works out at the gym. This man's in perfect health. He can do anything in this plant. And they called me on the phone. Man, they had a job fair. 300 people come, drink Pepsi, and eat hot dogs and filled out applications. And not one of them could pass the drug test or wasn't a convicted felon.
300 people, nobody, they're either a convicted felon or couldn't pass the drug test, so it came down to this old guy.
I can pass that drug test, and I'm not a convicted felon. I'm a forgiven sinner, but I'm not a convicted felon. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They didn't catch me. Glory be to God. How many has a BC? Life before Christ. Yeah, they didn't catch you, did they? Otherwise, thank God you're a forgiven sinner instead of a convicted felon. Hallelujah. Yeah, you drove with it over the limit. I know how all that works. If they'd have caught you, you'd have had a conviction, but they didn't catch you. But God forgave you, and that's all that matters now. But they hired me, and I got down at the end of a conveyor belt stacking ice cream that had been bundled in those bundles, and I didn't know if I could do it. And I began to pray in other tongues and boldly declare, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I got through that first eight-hour night after a 12-year layoff from that kind of labor. 25 years, 30, I don't know. It was a long time before I went back in the workforce. And I'm standing there, the oldest guy in that room, stacking, and the Lord was with me. And I got through it, and I thought, man, I did it. God did it. We did it, Lord. And I went home. I walked in the door. Yeah, my back started going crazy. I had me a spasm. When I got home, I had me a... Who was it used to call Fred Sanford, you ugly spasm? I know what a spasm is. Amen. What was her name? Don't matter. It's not relevant. Ethel. Anyway, I laid down in the floor, and I said, honey... God help me through the night. And I thought, this is fine. I got through the night. I got to go back tomorrow and do it all over again. And I went back the next day and 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 the next day. And God strengthened me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he did it for 12 years. And I got out of that and went and did something else and did this and up and down ladders and all kinds of stuff. And God strengthened me. Praise God. He strengthened me. But I had to at some point, amen, get a hold of God's word. And more importantly, let God's word get a hold of me. Can you say amen? I can't. Say it with me. I can't. Never could do anything. I learned that in primary school, elementary school. The little engine that could. This little old steam engine is going up a hill. Starts up that hill. It's so steep. It seems so hard. You know what the little steam engine said? You can remember that far back? You're younger than me. You should be able to remember that. I think I can. Yeah. The could comes later. We'll get you straightened out. We'll help you through this. That's why I'm here to teach. Thou art a teacher sent from God. Can you say amen? I think I can. 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 As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think I can. 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 All the way up to the top, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But when he rounded the top and started down the other side, I knew I could. 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 Can you say amen? No, he didn't know he could until he thought he could. Let me show you how this stinking thinking works and how our words work. Spies went over into the land that God promised them. They saw walled cities. They saw fierce enemies. And immediately, they disqualified themselves from ever receiving what God had promised. They came back and gave an accurate report in the natural, but didn't bring God into it at all. We saw, oh, by the way, they said, here's something God said that was right. It flows with milk and honey. There are boughs of grapes over there that takes, have you ever seen somebody holding up a big thing of grapes, cluster? He said, there's grapes over there, boughs of grapes that take two men to carry. Whew. That's a big cluster of grapes. Wow. But we can't have it because we saw giants in the land, the sons of Anak. And we saw great cities. Everybody say Jericho. Walled up to heaven. Walled up to heaven. It was big. See, once you get into doubt and fear, you exaggerate the negative instead of magnify the positive. Instead of magnifying God, you find yourself magnifying the devil. They wasn't walled up to heaven. They were very tall. But they're already now speaking doubt and fear. And you know why this generation said they didn't go over and get it? They said, our brethren. Come on, folks, right here. Here we are. Here we sit, brethren. Our brethren hath discouraged our hearts, saying. Was it a lie what they said about their circumstances? No. Did they leave God out? Yes. Bible said they forgot the hand of the Lord that brought them up out of Egypt. You think the God that delivered from Egypt couldn't take them into Canaan? They lost it. They lost it. Our brethren hath discouraged our hearts, saying, you can discourage each other's heart. You can discourage yourself. Just go home and call somebody and start talking about all your trouble. And I always put it this way. I've never eat possum. Some people know how to cook it. And they say if you cook it right, it'll get tender. But if you don't cook it right, the more you chew it, the bigger it gets. And I don't know about possum, but I know about your words. The more you talk about your trouble, the bigger your trouble is going to loom in front of you. Your focus is going to shift from God who can do anything to you who feel less than nothing. And you will find yourself feeling lower than a snake in a wagon rut. And not only is it going to affect you, my darling, it's going to affect all the people that you're in conversation with. Can you say, man, our brethren hath what? Discouraged our heart, saying. There are giants in the land, cities walled up to heaven, fierce armies. We are not able to go get it. God is tantalizing us with the milk and honey of it, but we can't have it. He promised it, but we can't have it. And along comes Joshua, who went with them. And you know what he said about the same thing? He saw the same cities, the same circumstances. You know what he said? Because he brought God's promise, God's covenant, God's power. You know what he said? Let's go over at once and possess the land. He said what? Let's go over at once. He said what? Let's go over at once and possess the land, for we are well able. God brought us out. In other words, God will bring us in. God is with us. God will go before us. God is in this thing. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about human nature. Whose report did they believe? After they saw the Red Sea part, after they ate manna from heaven and water from a rock, and saw a world empire army destroyed, they went into the wilderness for 40 years and wandered as if they were a people without a God and without a focus and without a destiny. And they died. All the men that were able to go over and wouldn't go over died in the wilderness. God had to raise up a new generation. You know what he said to the people that were hesitant to go over in that new generation? How long will you be slack to go over and possess the land that the Lord thy God hath given you? It was yours 40 years ago. It's yours now. But you can't have it. You know what God said about the land and faith? He said, everywhere, everybody say my feet. He said, everywhere the soles of your feet. And he gave them perimeter. So you can't just do anything. And you can't just have anything, but you can have everything that God has told you is yours. He said, from the river Euphrates to here, from here to there, everywhere now, everywhere your feet touches within that, those dimensions. See, there is a will that you have to stay within, but everywhere in it, you're free to walk and claim it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. How long will you be slack to cross over the river? Put your feet on that promised soil and claim and possess the land that the Lord thy God hath what? Hath given you. How long are you going to hold back and complain about what your needs are when the promise and the provision has already been made? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How long will you sit over here and complain instead of walk over there and claim what is yours? Wow. Wow. There be any sick among you? Lord, if it be thy will, tell brother so-and-so, give him a word of knowledge. No. If there be any sick in you, stand up. Call the elders of the church. It's yours to claim. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I see some people sit back and somebody has to drag them down to get prayer. I don't have a whole lot of confidence at that point. But we're going to supersede and override this sit down, poor old me attitude and try to get a miracle for someone who doesn't even have enough faith to speak out. Hallelujah. Man, I come here with a need. I'm going to holler. Pray for me. You know what it said about the early apostles? We have believed. We have believed. Therefore have we spoken. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. And we need to hear something from the pulpit today that is not Mickey Mouse, wishy-washy. We need to hear something spoken. I pray when I come in, number one, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Whatever you want said, and he did it this morning because this is communion service and this is extraordinary for communion, but it's okay for communion because part of communion, part of communion. Let's get to that part real quick. Oh, wait, let me finish. I said, Lord, and let me speak as an oracle of God. That means let me say what you have said. And let me say it with the authority that you said it and the boldness. Give me the boldness to proclaim it. Praise God. When Reinhard Bonnke said tonight, God is going to heal the sick. He said, I thought, Lord, I am out on a big limb. If nothing happens in this crowd tonight, I won't even get the 300 back. Amen. Are you listening to me? But something did happen that night. And it wasn't his doing. It was God's doing to get the gospel out. You say, Brother Rimmel, this guy's over there part of that group. You need to quit all of that. You're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know people, and I know people that have done it, and they'd like to put me in a camp. I will not give up my blessing because someone's oversensitized. They call themselves defenders of the truth, but they're living a defeated life. If you want to defend the truth, then live the truth in every aspect of it. I'm young. I'm not afraid to say it. Some of you have a hard time getting this out. Now I'm old. I'm not old, antiquated old. But to anybody her age, I'm an old guy. Because she's a young lady. I remember when I was your age and I met somebody over 65. They were old, believe me. That's an old guy right there. But now to some people in here, that ain't old at all. Can't wait to get your age so my age won't seem so old. Not really. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm young and now I'm old. I've never seen something. I've lived a lifetime of observation. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen his seed having to beg for bread. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I am so glad that my car, it may not start, but it's a good enough, that Astro van out there, it'll go. It'll go. That thing will go. Boy, God led me to an Astro van. Had 38,000 miles on it. 10 years old. You can't find a 2-year-old car with less than that. I saw the thing sitting there, and Pamela said, if he'll take 1,000 less than they're asking, we'll know it's God. He took 1,000 less than we were asking. Not only did we know that was God, but we went over to get it, and a lady from Gainesville said, I'll give you 1,000 more than you're asking for. He said, but the guy, because the guy goes to church, and the guy said, but I already promised it to a man if he wants it. And he told me when I bought it, if you want to make $1,000 tomorrow on this vehicle, here's the lady that wants it in Gainesville. She said, I'll come down tomorrow and give you the cash. He said, but I made a promise to a man that if he came back today, it was his. 38,000 miles on a 10-year-old vehicle that everything works perfectly. I mean, it looks good. It drives good. The dog loves it. He rides shotgun. My little dog rides shotgun in that van, thinks he's a big dog because he can see out over everything. I put him in the car the other day and he pouted the whole trip. He don't like that car. It sits too low. He likes to sit up and look around. My dog loves it. Praise God. God is good. What I'm telling you is God is good. I didn't get in it for the luxury car, but I can declare unto you God is taking care of me. And God will take care of you. You put the kingdom first. God knows what you have need of. And I'm not in debt up to here for that. Other things, but not that. Praise God. I'm expecting a miracle. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting God to show up and show out and not only heal my body, but help us with our bills and help us with life and save our loved ones and come through. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Hath he not said it, and will he not bring it to pass? Defeated. have spoken. I have spoken. I have spoken, saith the Lord in my word. It is time for my people to speak up as well. You got a deadly weapon. Not only hurt others, it can hurt you. Look at the lives that are critical of everything of faith. Everything. Categorizing and castigating everyone that talks about blessing. What has happened to that life? You tell me. What is happening? You want your life to be like that? You want your family to be in that pickle? You want me to stand up here and talk about everybody that's wrong and not tell you what's right and can bless you? Is that what you want from me? Is that what you want to dwell on? You don't want healing? You don't want miracles? You don't want enough to feed your family? You don't want to alter what you're saying? My Bible told me to feed the flock of God. Can you say, man? Why? Because God loves you. And because you bear His name. I bear His name. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not begging for crumbs. I'm not too proud to beg. But I don't need to beg. I have a covenant with God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Oh, ain't too proud to beg. If my family needed something, I wouldn't hesitate. Please help me feed my family. But listen to me. I have a God who said He would bless me coming in and bless me going out if I would put His kingdom first. I represent Him. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He's a shepherd king. His word is true. His promises are yea and amen to them that believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a statement, isn't it? This is a declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm young and I'm old and I've never seen Him fail those who put their trust in Him. Would it be all right with somebody out in Colorado and somebody else split a $500 million Powerball? $500 million. $500 million, half a billion dollars. That's a lot of moolah. Amen? Not the fabulous moolah. She was a wrestling lady from way back. That's why she chose the name. It meant money. She's making money wrestling. I saw the other day a thing on her life. She was still around. The fabulous moolah. Money. Listen. It's not about money. It's about God's provision, God's watch care, God's supply to His people. I'll tell you something about Egypt. Hurry. I got to hurry. When they came out of Egypt, the Bible said He brought them out with silver and gold. Why did He give them silver and gold? So that they wouldn't have to become dependent on the world and make compromises and concessions. Can you say, man, they could be self-supporting and self-sufficient and they would not be obligated because God is leading them. So He brought them out according to Psalm 105. He didn't just bring them out without a feeble one. He didn't just bring them out by getting them to be set free. He brought them out with what they needed. So they wouldn't have to be dependent on other nations. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Would it be all right if God brought you and me out of indebtedness that keeps us working overtime and not having enough to help the work of God and not having enough to help the needy sometimes? Would it be all right if God brought us out with some not to be corrupted, not because we're after filthy lucre, but because we belong to God.
How many would give $1,000 to help us out if you had it to give?
Lord, you see us. You see us. You see us. If God gives it to me to give, I'd be so happy to give it. You categorize me with anybody you want to. You know I'm a Holy Ghost preacher. You know I preach the truth and the Word of God. And you know I live in a 1,250-foot square house with a garage that I made an apartment for my son. And I'm no big shot in any sense of the word, but I got a big God. And I'm happy with what I have, and I don't need the big house on the hill. But I'm going to tell you, I do need a roof over my head, and God has provided it. I do need a vehicle that will run, and God has provided it. Can you say amen? God is good to me. He's never failed. He's come through. He gave me the strength to work for 12 years at a labor job that young men fainted. Literally gave up and wouldn't come back. But he kept this old car running. Hallelujah. God is faithful today. That 357 would be handled with the utmost care as it's passed from person to person to person. I would advise you today, I can't live your life for you. You have to make these choices. I would get away from negative people. I wouldn't hang with them. I wouldn't run with them. Take a look at their life. Tell me something. Is it representative of God's kingdom and God's blessing? Critical. Cynical. Joyless instead of joyful. All they see in the world is the sin. They don't see God's grace anywhere. And yet God's grace is much more abounding than sin anywhere. And they don't see it. They can't see it. Listen. Hear the confession that turned a nation into 40 years of wandering at the threshold of the blessing. We saw giants, the sons of Anak over there. Listen, you want to hear the rest of it? You're going to hear it anyway. And we were as grasshoppers before them. And so we saw ourselves in our own eyes. Can you say, man, it's not just how your enemy sees you that determines this. It's how you see yourself. We were as grasshoppers before them, and so we saw ourselves in our own eyes. As a man thinketh in his own heart, so is he. Grasshoppers cannot be people who see themselves in relation to their adversary and their circumstances that way will never conquer them. You don't run at giants, you run from them. Can you say amen? David didn't see himself that way, and so he talked different. And they tried to get him to see himself that way. And you know what he said? They ran out and said, David, you don't know what you're up against. Have you seen the size of this man? And David said, I've slain the lion, slain the bear. To a shepherd boy, they were pretty big too. It wasn't my strength that brought them down. It was the name of the Lord God of Israel. And that anointing that poured all over me comes forth. Amen. Listen to what David said. Who is? I don't care. Remember the Rock in wrestling? Did anybody ever watch the old Rock guy? Remember one thing he used to say? He'd say, what is your name? Tell me. No, tell me your name. It's a trick question. What is your name? Just tell me your name. What is your name? I don't care what name your name is. See, I don't care what. That's why I never went into wrestling. I could never get that part right. I don't care what your name is. You know, I'm going to whoop you or whatever. David said, I don't care how big he is. Size is not an issue. I've slain the lion. I've slain the bear.
Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? And he ain't done talking yet either. John says, I asked for a man. The devil will always argue with you. Get on the word and stay on it anyhow. I asked for a man. You send me a boy. But I'm going to slay him today. The birds eat him.
David's not done talking. David said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to fight you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And he ran toward the giant.
Come on. He didn't
tiptoe through the tulips.
He ran. He wasn't tentative. He ran at the giant.
Oh, and he wasn't done talking.
He said to the giant, today I'm going to slay you and take your head from you. He picked up a rock, slung it, smacked him in the head, and the Bible said it didn't knock him backwards. He fell forward. And, oh, David walked over to that giant before that whole army, pulled his sword from the giant's sheath, raised it up and brought it down and severed his head from his body.
But before he did something, before he did anything, before he did anything, he said something. Did he not? Did he not? All you Bible believers, we're going to put that to the test, amen. Because something's going to go against your thinking that you're going to have to rearrange if you're going to be a Bible man. Don't tell me about the word unless you're willing to do something about it. More than just quote it in your little areas where you enjoy critiquing everybody. You better get, listen, you need faith in your life. You need help in your life. You need God in your life. You need to quit critiquing for a while and start receiving.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, come on, don't patty cake that. That's enough. Go to praise God. You're in a church that's trying to get you away from negative people and away from stinking thinking. Don't be like the lady that he criticized everybody in the church and everything that moved. And one Sunday there's a message on the tongue and she got convicted after the service. And the pastor knew she had eaten him for breakfast and lunch and dinner and his family and the church family and everybody else. And she came up with tears in her eyes and said, Pastor, I want to put my tongue on the altar. This is a big church. 50-foot altars. He surveyed the altar and said, I don't think they're long enough. It's not just your tongue, it's your heart. Get your heart right with God. Because when the Holy Ghost takes over, the first evidence is you speak with a new tongue. And you, when you're not talking in tongues, God wants us to talk faith, victory, His word. Can you say amen? Because you got life and death. You can discourage the brethren, and they can discourage you. The Bible said, don't let anything corrupt. Whatsoever is not of faith, what is it? Tell me what it is in one sentence. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? What is it? Say it to me. It's sin. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that is good for what? Edifying. If it don't build up, don't say it. If it tears down, don't speak it. A whole generation wandered in the wilderness. Because, remember during World War II, I wasn't right in that. I was born in 47, right after that. But in all the history of World War II, if you had someone in the Navy and they had slipped and let you know where they were destined in the Navy, because there was submarines waiting to sink supply ships and battleships, and loose lips sink ships. Can you say amen? We still have an enemy. Amen? And he's listening. He wants to know where you are. He wants to listen. He wants to come in on your fear and your doubt and do what he is not authorized to do otherwise if we hadn't opened the door. The tongue is like a rudder, the Bible said. A rudder. When you look at an aircraft carrier, so huge like a floating city, but said great ships are turned about by something in relation to the ship seems so small. In comparison, the rudder that allows that ship to turn is very small. And yet the whole ship and where it heads is determined by the setting of that rudder. I'd get up in the morning with discouragement all over the place. I have to set the rudder. And you say, man, unless you want to stay and anchor in discouragement, set the rudder right. The whole ship can be turned by something so little, and we think it's insignificant, and God said it's very significant. And now as we get ready to receive communion this morning, let me tell you how significant. As often as you do this, speaking of communion, Jesus said you show the Lord's death. Paul said you show the Lord's death till he come. You know what the word show is in the Greek? You proclaim publicly. It's part of your confession. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the tongue confession is made unto salvation. We are publicly proclaiming that we are saved because of his broken body and his shed blood. Praise God. We overcome by that blood and the word of our testimony. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, the tongue confession is made unto salvation. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Loose lips are still sinking ships today. This is a discipline. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, what's the first thing that happened? They didn't speak about their circumstances. Lord, what are we going to do? Lord, they're going to kill us. Lord, where have you at? Why is this happening? No, they proclaimed the word of God with boldness. And what did God do? He confirmed the bold proclamation of his word. 300 people turned into 3,000. And 3,000 to 30,000. And 30,000 to 50,000, and 50,000 to 100,000. Incredible. Back off. If someone will let you pour it out and not stop you and let you just keep talking defeat and talking fear and talking criticism, they're not your friend. They're encouraging you to do what is going to defeat you. Can you say amen? It's going to defeat you. You need somebody to say, wait a minute. Where's God in all of it? Oh, yeah, I've been praying. But see, I went to pray for someone recently. And I went in and I prayed in the unction of God and the compassion of Christ. And the moment I was through praying, they looked up at me and said, in other words, you're praying, but I don't know why God doesn't answer my prayer. I don't know why he lets his children. And I thought, you killed it. What can I do? I'm talking to a faithful God. You're accusing him of unfaithfulness. Don't you say amen with me at the end of the prayer? Amen means be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. So that we can untie the hands of God to help us when we have a need. Hola bakarashanda. Kela baroshanda dabasitia. Kela baroshanda dabasata. I need God's help desperately. I can't afford the negativism. And I'm not going to quit preaching faith or receiving his blessings in my life because someone's going to call me some name or put me in some camp. I mean, love your family. You know what the Bible said of husbands? If you don't provide for your own, I don't care how big a Bible thumper you are. And you ought to thump it and stand on it and preach it and proclaim it. But you ought to live it first. Then you say, man, all of it. Spiritual part, the material part, the physical part. It's all God's promises. He's addressed every part of our life. Can you say, man? Never the physical over the spiritual. Never the material over the spiritual. But when we got the spiritual right, he said, this other stuff, I'm concerned. I have addressed. I won't leave you down there like orphans. If you don't provide for your own, you've denied the faith. Denied the faith. And you're worse than an infidel. Isn't that an incredible statement in the Word of God? That's why I told you I'm never going to let my family suffer in the name of my ministry. That's why I worked for 12 years. To make sure they didn't suffer in the name of my sacrifice. Because I'm denying the faith I'm preaching if I don't provide for them. And I said, God, you give me the strength, I'll go to work. I'm still not above it. God, give me the strength. I can stack ice cream right now. Hallelujah. You'll have to give me a little more strength than before, but he does it. He's got it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not in it for the cars. I'm not in it for the houses, the silver, the gold, but I am in it for God's kingdom. Amen. And he said, if I put that kingdom first, everything I need is going to be added to me. God knows what I have need of. Amen. So take you no thought for what you'll eat, what you drink, or what you're going to put on. Amen. Your Father knows what you need. And if he clothes the lilies of the field, he'll give you something to wear. Can you say, man, glory be to God. If he feeds the fowls of the air, he's going to put food on your table. If you don't believe it, go over to their house. Oh, them was good eats. Amen. Wow. So I'm watching people be defeated. I'm watching the devil defraud them. I'm watching their life and their family implode while they criticize everybody and their message. And by the way, you'll get it sooner or later. Because once you get around somebody with a critical spirit, don't think it's just going to be other people that get it. Your day is coming. Can you say, man, they'll get around to nailing you. You need to hang with some people that love God, love the brethren, and believe the word. How about it? Love God, love the brethren, and believe the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And take the bullets out of that 357. Praise God. Unload it. I got some giants in my life, and I can't run to the battle if I don't believe that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. After I pray, I need to talk different. I need to walk different. Amen. I need to believe that God is going to move by his spirit on things that I can't handle. But it's okay. The circumstances in my life, they are impossible without God. That's the bad news. They're impossible without God. But they're not without hope. Not hopeless. Impossible, but not. How can it be impossible and not hopeless? Come back next week. Come back next week. Come back. It's impossible, but it's not hopeless. Situation, impossible, but not hopeless. That sounds like an oxymoron. That's not a dumb cow. That's something else in grammar. Can you say amen? Impossible. Impossible.